welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It's only when we get to stand still and experience God speaking to us and saying to us, listen, let's just get back to the drawing board. Let's just talk about where you are at and where you're going so that I can be part of your life. And it hit me. It was one of those moments, and I don't know if you experience it from time to time, when you know this is not Rick speaking, this is God speaking. Hercules, stand still, wait, because God wants to speak to you. And I want to trust that God will bring you to such a time and place. And I want to talk about a principle this morning that I believe was so evident in Paul's life in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 to 18. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to your Bibles, because I'm going to read a lot out of Corinthians this morning. I'm going to speak about Corinthians and the Corinthian letters, and I hope that you will get something. Okay. Part of standing still. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 to 18. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged. Verse 16, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Now this letter, or Paul's ministry, actually happened in the second missionary journey that Paul went on. This is a time when, on the second missionary journey, Paul did not go with Barnabas and Mark, but he went with Silas, and he went on this missionary journey all the way to Corinth, and here he started to establish the Corinth church. There was nothing. He went into the marketplace, and yeah, in the marketplace, and Corinth was a very wealthy city, a city with a lot of trade, and the industry there was strong. So Paul walking into the marketplace, then always, when Paul went into the city, the first place that he would go to is the marketplace, the place where lots of people were gathering, and then he started to minister to those people. So Paul went to Corinth, and as he entered the marketplace there, he got hold of two people, Aquila and Priscilla, a couple that came all the way from Rome. Now, at this stage, you must also understand the political background. I want to just quickly explain to you what's happening here. Because Paul now, entering into this city, gets to a place where he meets these friends, and they come all the way from Rome, because in Rome there was a lot of contention busy happening because of the Roman Empire and the ideological fight that was busy happening. Rome versus so many other doctrines in the Roman Empire, the Greco-Roman and so many others happening in Rome. They were actually driven all the way to Corinth because they were persecuted, because they were in the way of the Roman Empire. Now you must understand that at this stage, because of the Roman Empire, so many people getting saved oppose the views of the Roman Empire. So it became a problem. So they were driven from Jerusalem. This couple came to Corinth, all met them, and now they started a church in their house. Now, being in their house, Paul ministered there, and it quickly became too small, and they moved next door to Titius Justus's house, and they had bigger meetings. And within 2 years, staying with this couple, this church became a very strong church in the ministry of Paul. And now, while Paul is writing this letter, he is in Ephesus. But there were some concerns, and this is now years later, Paul realized that there was a few things that he had to address within this church. Now, there was three letters that Paul wrote to the Corinth church. The first one was the one that we know of, the previous letter. Now, we don't know 1 Corinthians if that was both the first two letters. But we know one thing that he is mentioning in 1 Corinthians, the previous letter. So there must be a previous letter before 1 Corinthians. So Paul is addressing the church in Corinth by means of a letter. And this letter is important to him because he understands that there's a relationship that's been established. So later on, two people came, Silas and also Timothy came to Paul's rescue in Ephesus, in Corinth. And at this stage, the ministry just grew from strength to strength. Now, with this growing, there was also a lot of opposition happening in Corinth. As the people realized that this Christianity was growing in Corinth, there was a lot of factions coming against them. Now, also they say because Paul at this stage, because of Silas and Timothy coming and bringing some funds probably, because they collected funds from the other churches, he could expand his ministry. Now, what was so beautiful is the relationship between Paul and Aquila and Priscilla grew all the time. 16 years later, Paul was mentioning the fact that he still has these friends, Priscilla and Aquila, that was building the church then in Ephesus. So it's a long-standing relationship that Paul was busy building with this couple as he was ministering to them. And I can just, you know, think about those times in the house when Paul would spend hours and hours preaching to them. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, he says, "Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding." So the first thing that Paul says to the church in Corinth is, listen, let's just talk about the fact that there's striving among you. There's factions that's busy opposing one another within the church, and this is a stumbling block for the growth of the church. So Paul spoke to them and said to them, listen, this amounts to nothing. Because if you measure yourself with other people within the church and the growth, even with the pastor and the pastor's growth, you're going to have a problem. Because you are not connected. You're not at a place where you can say, listen, God, I want to measure myself according to the measurement of calling promises. I'm serious about the things that you called me. And so Paul says, listen, I don't want to see this. Because there was three kinds of people that Paul was busy addressing in the church. Now I can promise you this is the old thing in the ministry of Paul, because he addressed this a lot of the time in the churches all over. In Timothy, and I want to quickly just read the scripture to you, he says, or to Timothy in Philippians 2, verse 19 to 22, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I know I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all see their own. Not the things which are of Christ Jesus, But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So Paul says that there's a problem. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, I, Paul, want to see so many sons that I can send to you and have a great report back from them. But I know that I've got only one with a true and a pure heart. Why? Because there's many that I can meet, but they don't have the mind of Christ. They all serve their own purposes. Are you with me? Let me tell you, in the church today, and I want to challenge you this morning, in the church today, there's so many, and I'm including myself because I'm challenged by this over and over and over and over again. God says, this is my church. This is not your agenda or your church. I want to say to you, you know, if I look at the tendencies worldwide, I can tell you that the church is at a scary place. Because there's so many agendas, you know, following around and going around, that you should realize that Jesus wants to be the master and savior of his own church. And that's why in the times that we're living, it's time to bow on knees to follow Jesus. And so Paul had three problems in the church then. The one was the one of division. They were divided among themselves in 1 Corinthians 1 to 10, even up to chapter 4 to 21. He speaks about a divided community. And he said to them, listen, I can see that you are even taking one another to court. So there's dividing attention, and there's so many people coming against one another within the church. So there's a problem. Paul even went so far in saying that you're so divided that you cannot even go under my authority, the one that actually started this ministry. And Paul had to fight, even in 2 Corinthians, a lot about the fact that he was the founder and leader of this church. Because he knew that there were so many that wanted to be in leadership. The second thing that he was challenged with was they were not as spiritual as they seemed, as it seemed. They thought that they are very spiritual. But Paul said to them, you know what? There's a problem. Because I see that so many, even of the rituals in Christian faith, you guys are using, and you think that it's a quick fix. Biblical character. You think that, you know, being transformed by Christ is a quick fix. Yet, you need godly character. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians, listen guys, I want the fruit and the repentance that's necessary, that comes with a Christian life. A life that is so fixed on Christ that you don't want to do anything else than living the standards and way that Christ shows us to walk. And Paul says, you are puffed up and arrogant, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and verse 18, even chapter 5, verse 2, materialistic. And then the third thing that they had a problem in this church with was the fact that there was actually people invading, as outsiders, invading the Christian belief in Corinth. Now, this was a problem because of the Hellenic Jewish customs. So many that came into the Corinth church that wanted them to still believe in the Jewish customs and do things according to the Jewish customs. And Paul said, I have a problem with this because Christ came to transform us. So these were the problems that Paul was busy addressing. And then the second thing is, he said in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 17, let the one who boast in the Lord. Now this is an important part, because Paul says that there was a sphere of influence that God has given him. There was a sphere that God has entrusted unto him, Paul, that he was very proud of. A thing that God entrusted unto him, and he said, I am not just focused even on the impartation that I gave into your hearts, but I'm trusting God that this would go beyond you to people from afar. People beyond your borders, because I'm trusting the seed that God has entrusted into your hearts through me will go beyond you to the uttermost ends of the earth. And you know what? I will fight for it. So, Paul was busy saying to them, listen, I'm serious about this impartation, this sphere of influence that God has given me, and I'm not going to walk away from it. I'm so serious about it that I can tell you that I would rather fight with you and get this right than walking away and just live life on and look for new opportunities. I'm going to fight for the cause of the church. So Paul, in his letters, now I spoke about the previous letter, then it's the painful letter. In 1 Corinthians, we read a lot of things that Paul was busy sorting out in the church, issues that arose, and Paul had to address them. I can just mention some of them. One was the abuses of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17 to 34. Immorality, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 5. Public litigation among members, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 8. Uncertainties about the place of marriage, 1 Corinthians 7. Eating food offered to idols, 1 Corinthians 8. Infatuation of the charismatic gifts above the principle of mutual love, 1 Corinthians 12 to chapter 14. And the view on the resurrection. So there was a lot of things, doctrines even, that Paul had to address within the church of Corinth. As I said, Paul went from Corinth all the way back to Jerusalem, probably because he had to take the funds that he collected. Now, Paul, everywhere that he went, collected funds for the poor and the orphan and the widows in Jerusalem. So he probably had to take back those collections to Jerusalem. And then after that, all the way to Antioch, which is a little bit to the north. You can see there, if you look at the map here, on your right-hand side is Jerusalem in the corner. Can you see it? There where the cross is, the little red cross. And then Antioch is just above where the word Syria is. Can you see that? Where there's a lot of fighting now. I want you to follow with me because it's quite exciting to see all the distances that Paul was busy moving as he was imparting into many churches that he established. Then he went from Syria or from Antioch all the way to Troas. First to Ephesus, where he wrote the letter of 2 Corinthians, and then from there he went up all the way to Troas, which is a little bit to the north. You see the road, and then from that place to Macedonia, which is in your far left corner, probably round and about there where Macedonia is in the left and upright corner. So Paul went to Macedonia. Now all the way from Ephesus, Paul all the time required some feedback from Titus. Now, he specifically sent Titus rather than Timothy for a reason. Timothy was quite a timid character. Although Paul was talking so fondly about Timothy and said, listen, I know that when I speak about Timothy and sending Timothy, he's got a pure character, he's got the mind of Christ. And we know that so many times he mentioned that, Timothy, don't let him despise your youth. He didn't tell the congregation, listen guys, please, you know, be easy on Timothy. He said, Timothy, don't let them despise your youth. I know that you are intimidated, but Timothy, that's not the way to go. God has birth something in your heart that you must treasure, that you must take charge of. And then Paul said to him, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So every time that Paul spoke about Timothy, we know that he was a soft character. He was a gentle guy. He was an amazing guy. But this time, Paul decided not to send Timothy, but rather a more forceful guy in Titus. So if Paul would send Titus, It was always with the purpose of sorting people out. Because Titus could do that. He was an amazing character that could sort out issues as it arose. And so he went to the church of Corinth, and all the time that Paul was traveling, he was asking, where is Titus? Is there any report back on the letter that I've written to the church? Now, the third letter was called the severe letter. Now, this we see in 2 Corinthians. Now, I know this is quite a lot of information this morning, especially in holidays. But I need you to keep up with me. Because this is a special moment in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this letter to actually sort out the ringleader that was busy taking away the Corinth church from where it was supposed to go. And Paul was saying, listen, I'm talking about my sphere of influence. Now I'm telling you, let God be the judge. Because I'm serious about fathering this congregation and the mandate and the sphere that God has given me. I will not walk away from it so easy, because I'm serious about what God has done in and through me in your lives. I'm not walking away. I can tell you, today I see too many people that can just walk away because it's easy to do so. And I'm serious about this. Is in the church of God, I see so many people that are not serious about the mandate that God has given them. Because it's so easy just to have a career or a job, and yet we are fighting a kingdom battle here. And Paul is serious about this kingdom battle. He says, listen, I've been called from God as an apostle of Christ. I can tell you that I will fight for this congregation because of the apostle of Christ. I want to say to you this morning, as we drove here, my daughter was just mentioning, you know, and Yves is coming this afternoon, and she's got curly hair. So she said to me, oh, I want to have curly hair like that as well. Now, we had talk about the looks. I said, you know what? Can you just think about God creating this niece of yours and the amazing way that God thought of her calling, the destination that she will go into in this lifetime, and even her little face, as pretty as it is, God has made for a certain purpose for a time such as this. I tell you, you here this morning, you living in Somerset West, in 2015, almost entering 2016, there's a mandate that God has bestowed upon your life, the deposit, everything about you speaks out. God says, listen, there's nothing meant to hinder you to fulfill me. If you just stay with my dreams and purposes in your life. And Paul says, I'm serious. I'm not walking on. And then, after inquiring so many times, and you know, I want to just mention this. Paul was going through a lot of hardship at the same time. In Ephesus, he speaks of deadly peril, despair of life itself, the sentence of death, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 to 10. Paul speaks about going through hell all over his trip. But yet he was asking in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 13, he was always asking the Titus. And then the message from Titus, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 15 to 16. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation, without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness the godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in this matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore, we are comforted. And besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boast I made to him about you, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true. And his affection for you is even greater, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. What a powerful message. Paul is saying, I'm so blessed by your reaction, because you could have been offended. I'm the founder of this ministry, and I've imparted a lot. I've been very harsh with you. I do recognize it. I was actually very nervous that you would experience this letter as so harsh that you would be offended. But yet you did not. You came to a place of true repentance. A place of humility where you could recognize the things that you're doing wrong and say that, God, I want to do it your way. Then the third thing, the Lord commends. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 18. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. You know, it's amazing to see when God would come and use his servants. I've seen through the years so many things happening in the ministry, awesome stuff. I know that taking it serious to take the mandate that God has given you means a lot of things. Years ago, I worked at APSA, and I remember as I drove there every day, how God challenged me to trust for salvation. Now, it was a terrible place to fight for salvation at that stage, because the team that I was in was quite a team. But I did whatever was necessary. In the mornings, I would go drive just after 4 from Front Street all the way to Belleville and then anoint the chairs of the people that was leading me. And I pray to God every day, please God, give me salvations. Make that today would be one of those days that I can have one glimpse, one moment of input in these people's lives. You know, it's amazing to just see what God has done through all of that. I remember at my hostel in Huisvisser there at Stellenbosch, at night, in the middle of the night, how some people would 2 or 3 o'clock on the shofar. I was offended. I thought these people were crazy. I thought, you know, these people actually need to be the grondakkies. Why would you stand up in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 in the morning with a cross on your shoulder and oil in your hand and anoint the whole hostel all around? This is just crazy. Just later on to realize that these people actually were so crazy about the mandate that God has given them. I want to say to you this morning, it's beautiful that Christ has through us. That he would take empty vessels like us, change and transform us in our weakness, and yet use us for times of justice. Paul says, listen, I will not walk away. Not because I'm accountable to you even, because Christ has commissioned me to do awesome. I want to say to you this morning, God's plan still stays the same for your life. There was days when you got saved, when there was nothing else than Jesus. There was days when you could walk into the presence of God. And it was just awesome because every moment was just seeing Jesus. There was moments when there was not anything that you would do to inquire from Jesus. And Christ says, I want you to come back. I want you to come and experience the promises that I have in you. Can we stand this morning? When the Lord commends, 1 Samuel 7 verse 13 to 14, listen to what God has done through Samuel the prophet. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Listen to this again. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Because of one man that knew the mandate that God had given him. He was commended by God. There was a man, Joseph, that was commended by God. So I can go on. So many men of God that understood the sphere of the mandate that God has given them. They were serious about it. They saw it through. They stuck it through. And listen to Paul's life at the end. And I want to end off with this morning. 2 Corinthians 12, at the end of the letter, 10 to 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I just say to you this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life. I cannot this morning be the judge. Of, are you walking the road with Christ? And are you serious about the mandate that he's given you? I cannot give the judgment this morning. But you know what I find in Christian circles these days, that we focus so much on the grace to cover. That God is giving us the grace to cover all our sins and we are fine with Him in right standing and righteousness. But we don't realize in this second this morning that grace is not just to cover all the sins that you and I have committed and will commit in the future. God has given us the Holy Spirit in grace to overcome. In the church today, the emphasis is so much on the covering of sin that we forgot that God has given us the power to overcome every sin that comes our way, every temptation. There's no reason, and when I speak to Christians these days, and I'm really including myself, I'm examining myself at the end of the year to such a place where I ask God, God, please speak to me. Because God, there's so many excuses that I'm using for not meeting the standards and the sphere and the promises that you have in my life. There's always this thing and this thing and this thing that I'm using as an excuse and for my limitations. And God, yet you said, my power will become perfect in you when you are weak. God, I'm so weak. I want to be strong. I want to overcome every obstacle. I want to do. I want to get there. I want to fulfill those promises. I want to trust that
you and I would come to a place in 2016, thank God,
he's not fine.
I'm going to feel the temptation of the world to be mediocre and just to live according to the worldly plans and purposes and comfort. I want to say, like Paul, it doesn't matter what it's going to cost, difficulty or not. I'm going to walk with that cross around the hostel if needed. I will anoint the seats if needed. I will go into my workplace and I will see, God, every obstacle being overcome so that your kingdom will be established, not in my life, but in every life beyond myself. Because, God, you're serious about your kingdom. I want to be serious as well. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that this morning we can recognize that living for your kingdom, Father God, is not easy. But your yoke is so easy. The fact that, Father God, when we do your purposes and your plans, that you would come and give us the grace to overcome. That, Father, yet, because we are so weak, you want to make us strong through your power. I recognize in my own life this morning, Father, that there's so much plastic. There's so much plastic, Father God, that hinders me, Father God, to come to the fullness of your promises in my life. Father, there's so many things that still flaws that hinders me, but yet, Father, I know this morning that you want to overcome through me. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will be more tangible, more close, a greater revelation, a better understanding, Father God, of you in my life. And Father, I pray this morning that every person standing here will, Father, have such an intimate relationship with you that will just go from strength to strength, Father God, because of you. And I want to pray that, Father, as Paul experienced a mandate that he knew came directly from you, he knew where to go and what to do and what to fight for. I pray, Father God, that you'll give us the opportunity to partner with you. In Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you will even take us beyond our excuses. So many limitations, Father God, and even baggage of the past that makes us to think that people's perception about us and, Father God, our circumstances and track record of the past hinders us to come to where you want us now. Father, I pray that that lie will fall to the ground this morning. That all the things of the past you will come and take away, Father, so that we can be empty vessels before you. As we stand here this morning, I want you to keep your eyes closed. I know you want to go and experience the sun, but this morning, coming to a place of reflection, I want you to be very honest with God. And just the amazing things that he wants to do in your life, and the amazing God that he is, he comes to you this morning and says, listen, there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no reason that God would come this morning and let you feel bad about what you did not make, or what you did not achieve. God loves you enough to say that, listen, I'm still as serious as always about the promises that I have over your life. If you're standing here this morning, you know that God is reminding you of those things. And I want you to raise your hand. Just so that God can this morning come and reveal himself to you. I'm going to this morning pray with you, and I want to trust that God is going to help. Listen, let's do it the right way. Come to the front quickly, and I want to ask you to be bold. If you've raised your hand, just quickly come to the front. And let's make this a memorial stone before God. Let's not haste into this thing. I want to pray this morning that each one of you would come to a place of refreshing. As Paul said, that Titus are refreshed by these people. I want to trust that God will come and refresh you in the anointing that is placed upon your mind. That it would bring you back to the place where you can again feel these things of the touch. I cannot bring that to you, but I know that Christ is working tirelessly at his church. Father, this morning, we come and pray that every person that came to the front, and even every person standing in this place, that they will experience, Father God, the awesome fullness of your touch this morning. Father, we're so serious about the things that you've called us to. And coming to an end of a year, Father, we do recognize that we lose track from time to time. And yet, Father God, you are even satisfied with us for recognizing, Father God, our fault. Because Paul says, then we can become strong. And Father, as we stand here this morning, we ask that you will come and do a thorough work within us. I pray that over this holiday, Father God, you will come and bring us to a place of fullness. And Father, that you will bring us to a place where we will just grow from strength to strength. In Jesus' name.